Great. You know, one of the things that is amazing is in Acts chapter 7, Philip is on the road and he meets the Ethiopian eunuch and he tells him about the Lord Jesus Christ and he tells him about salvation and he speaks to him about baptism and they go through past a pool of mud and the Ethiopian says, listen, well, what's stopping me from being baptized right now? And so if you feel you'd like to be baptized, I want you to just share a little bit about it. You're welcome to today because baptism, number one, the only prerequisite for water baptism is that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you believe in Him and that you've confessed Him as Lord of your life. And in Acts chapter 3, when Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, actually, he's preaching on the day of Pentecost, and people ask him, what shall we do to be saved? And he says this, believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be baptized, and you will be saved. Now, baptism isn't a prerequisite for salvation. When you're saved, you're saved. And I, too, was christened as a child. But the Bible clearly states that it's a believer's baptism. And when I was a child, I thank God that my parents thought that I needed it. But actually, at the end of the day, as Lauren said, it's a decision that we make once we are believers. And so what does this signify? Well, it signifies the life of Jesus, His death as you go into the water, and His resurrection afterwards. And it's a picture of us as our life before Christ. We get saved, we go through the waters of baptism, and we come out a brand new person. So it's symbolic of what Jesus did on the cross for us. And before we do the service, I just want to share a few things, because this is Palm Sunday, and if any of you don't know what that's about, it was the week before Jesus was was crucified, which we celebrate next, this coming Friday. And on that day, Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, and there's a huge, big buzz about this. And as he came in, riding on a colt, riding on a donkey, they got palm fronds, and thousands of people came out and laid them before him and said, Hosanna in the highest, just what we've sang here. They declared him as king. So what happened four or five days later? How did they go from declaring him as king to wanting to crucify him on the cross? And I want to tell you, it was expectation. It was their expectation was different to what God's plan was. And often what keeps us away from the Lord is false expectation. Some of us have been told, come to Jesus and all your problems will go away. You'll never have another issue in your life. Can that person that that's happened to please stand up? Because I want to meet you. Sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. But I tell you what, the deal is, Jesus says this in scriptures like Isaiah 43. It says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. He's talking about us. And I have summoned you by name. It says, when you walk through the waters, they will not overtake you. And when you go through fires, I will be with you. And I tell you what, for me, one of the most incredible things is to know that Jesus is with me no matter what I'm going through. And I tell you, as a pastor, I minister to people and I'm called to the hospital on a semi-regular basis. And sometimes for people that I've never met before. And I tell you what, there's such a difference in a life that is assured of their eternal destiny and one that isn't. Especially in those times. You see, we have a birth date and we have a death date. Every single one of us. And in between those two dates is a little dash. And that's our life in the context of eternity. That's the life God gives us. And the question is, what are we going to do with that dash? How are we going to live that out? And we can live it out in our own with our own will, with our own desires, or we can live it out for the benefit of others, and we can submit our lives and ourselves to the King of Glory. And one day, for me, Deborah got saved 2 years before me, and I was not happy when she became a Christian. I didn't like Christians. But one thing I could not argue with, as I said, is the transformation in her life. You see, often, unfortunately, we as Christians misrepresent Jesus. And it's just because of who we are. It's just because we're human. Jesus forgives us for that. And many people, I've came to find out, are not angry with Jesus or with God. They're angry with the church. And I want to tell you that God loves you. As you can see, many different people going in different times of their life and going through different things, and some of them are still on a journey of understanding what the full gospel is. But they have given their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. They are born again, and they are going to be baptized today because of that. You see, Romans chapter 5, and this is one of my scriptures for all of you, and I'm not asking you to make a decision today to follow Jesus or not. I'm asking you to consider, if you've never considered him before, if he's been misrepresented to you before, I want to ask you to at least consider the Lord Jesus Christ. To open your heart to say, God, if you are real, because this is what I did, reveal yourself to me. And when I opened my heart, he began to do that. He began to do that personally, and he began to do it through people that he placed in my lives. And you are not here by accident. God has brought you here today to witness this, but he has a greater plan. He has a plan that he wants to reveal to you, and that is that he loves you unconditionally. You see, God does not love us for what we do. God loves us for who we are. And he wants you to come into a relationship with him. And in Romans chapter 5, he lays this out. And I just want to lay this out a little bit for you. And I want you to consider this. You see, Paul writing here says, in verse 6, you see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. And that is us. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love in this, that whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, man was separated from God because of sin. And God is a holy God, and he cannot look at sin, and sin cannot dwell in his presence. So God sent his Son to take upon our sins upon the cross, to die for us, so that us believing in him could have eternal life and be forgiven of our sins. So we're standing this side of the cross, enemies of God, but God still loving us. We acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We confess our sin and give our lives to him, and we come out this side just as if we had never sinned, because the price for that sin is paid for on the cross. Now, bear me out, this might sound crazy to you, but I want you to consider this. You see, if man could save himself, if technology could save himself, surely today, with all the stuff we have, man should be in a better place than he was before, but he can't. We needed a Savior, somebody that would come and pay the price for us. Because Jesus dealt with our sin for one reason and one reason alone, so that relationship destroyed by sin could be restored with our Father in heaven. And as we ponder today, some of our loved ones that have gone to be with glory, we are sad because of that. But we rejoice because their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and for eternity, they will be forever praising God. And I want to just read a passage of scripture to you, and I'm going to leave this with you for the week. And if you'd like to speak more about this, please contact the office. I'd love to sit down with you and tell you my story. I do not qualify myself to stand up here, but for the love, the mercy, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm not looking for a religion. I'm looking for a relationship. And that's what I have, a personal relationship with the loving God who is with us no matter. When we walk through the fires, He is with us. Psalm 23 says this, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, You are with me, and I will fear no evil. That's the comfort. I don't know how people go through this life without the comfort of knowing that Jesus is with them. I don't know why anybody would want to do that. And like I said, if Jesus has been misrepresented, I want to tell you, He loves you unconditionally, and He wants you to have a relationship with His Father. And so we're going to look at a little verse of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 2 and 1 to 10. I'm just going to read it. It'll be up on the screen there, because this is the story. This is every single one of our stories. And if the story ended after the first one or two verses, it would be very depressing. But God. And this is what it says. As for you, and I'm going to put my name in there. As for you, Michael John Graves. You were dead in your transgressions and sins. How many of you can identify with this? Which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived amongst them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sin nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. If the story ended there, that would be a very distressing story. But I love the buts of God, because it says here, but because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions, because it was by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up in Christ and seated us with Him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His love. I don't know why I've got two microphones. Maybe you had to hear this twice. Stereo. See, what is this all about? Oh, man. I think God has such an incredible sense of humor. I can see Him sitting on the throne having a good laugh. And what the heck is He doing there? And it says here, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show His incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Jesus Christ. For eternity, we will know that Jesus saved us. We were enemies of the cross. We were disobedient. We were doing our own thing. And God captured our heart. But you know the thing about this? God never forces us into a relationship with Him. We have a free will, and we can choose. God did not create robots. God gave man a choice because He wanted us to choose. How many of you want to be in a relationship with somebody where you have to basically put a gun to their head to say, love me, serve me, obey me? That's not a relationship. That is abuse. And so in here, God is sharing His love, and some will consider it and some won't. And that is the choice that he gives every single one of us. And I'm praying that you will open your heart to consider the love of God and to consider the choices that you make, because they have eternal consequences. And it says this, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, not by works, so that no man can boast." You see, religion wants us to earn our salvation. And God says, you can never earn it because you'll never be good enough. So I will give it to you. And I can get a gift for my birthday or for Christmas, and it can be there. But unless I open it, unless I appropriate that gift, it means nothing. And that's the same with God. He says, you choose who you will serve. I love you. Even when you were my enemy, I loved you. I can't love you anymore, but your sin is separating us from a relationship, and therefore I sent my son to pay the price for your sin so that we can, relationship lost can be restored for eternity. And it says this here, so we are not saved by works, but we are God's workmanship, created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That word is an amazing word. That word workmanship there is the word poema. God wrote a poem. We are a poem written by God. And in that, God has given us a choice. But we were created in Him to have relationship with Him and to do good works. And C.S. Lewis says this, an amazing writer, Christian writer. He says, inside all of us is a God-shaped vacuum. And we try and fill it with all kinds of stuff. If I have a bigger boat, then I'll be happy. Now, how many of you know the size of your boat doesn't determine the size of the fish you catch? Hey, Jerry. If I had this, I'd be happy. You know, it's fleeting. You can go and get a new car tomorrow and bump it next week, and that's all gone. You see, that's not a relationship with God. We fill it with stuff. And then when we really get depressed, we turn to alcohol or drugs and those kind of things, because we have this hole that needs to be filled, and only God can fill it. And that's the deal. Only God can fill that vacuum in your life. Only God can be there in the middle of the night when you're lying there in fear or in worry or lonely, and you say, God, you never leave me. You never forsake me. It doesn't matter what I'm going through. You are there for me. And that's the peace that Joy was talking about. The Bible calls it the transcendent peace of God. The Bible says that when the transcendent peace of God comes, it is not subject to circumstance. It guards our hearts and guards our minds. Not subject to circumstance. And it says, the Bible says, do not be anxious about anything. And we all have anxiety. But with prayers and requests and thanksgiving, give it to God your Father and allow the peace of God to come. And I tell you, when you're in that zone, when you're in that space, when all is falling apart, and you're in that bubble of the peace, the transcendent peace of God, there's nothing like it. And that's what people want. That's what God wants us to tell the world about. That's why we need to represent Him as best as we can. Because He loves this world. He sent His Son to die for this world, so that we can have a restored relationship with Him. And that's, you've seen today, just a little story, and I could get hundreds of people in this church to stand up and tell their story. And I'm thinking of Sharon at the back there too, and others' faces, where God has radically set them free from addictions, set them free from anger, set them free from depression. And that's what God does. God is in the restoration business. And God wants to restore your life. Amen. Amen. So wonderful people, if you can please come up. I'm going to hand it over. And if we can have the other Sunday school children here.